find your place in Exodus chapter 29 tonight. Exodus chapter 29. Going back to our Old Testament book that we're studying together. Last time we preached in this book, we finished up chapter 28. And we're beginning chapter 29 tonight in Exodus, the book of Exodus chapter 29. I'm preaching on the opening nine verses of this chapter, if you're keeping notes with me, on verses 1 through 9. Let's read, beginning with verse number 1. This is the thing that thou shalt do unto them. The them here are the priests, okay? To hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one bullock, one young bullock, and two rams without blemish, unleavened bread, and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheat and flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket, and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams. Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him. And thou shalt bring his sons, and put coats upon them. And thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them. And the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. The Lord is very specific. He's very minute. He's very particular in his instructions, his commands concerning the office of a priest. And I want to draw your attention to a phrase in verse number 1, and I'm going to build my title off of this. Notice the phrase, it says in verse number 1, thou shalt do unto them to hallow them to minister unto me in the priest's office. Notice the word hallow, to minister unto me. And tonight I preach to you on this subject, hallowed to minister unto God. Hallowed to minister or serve God. Now let's pray together. We want to share this thought with you. Our Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. And I pray that as in my study, you just pointed this main thought to me and how it just all points to this thought. I pray that you'll help me to do an accurate job in explaining these verses. So as we leave tonight, every one of us leaves with a better understanding of these nine verses. And may we take these truths and apply them to our hearts, and may you change our lives. And may we truly leave tonight hallowed in your sight. May thy will be done. Please help me. I can't do this, but I know you can. And I want to commit myself to you. Would you take my lips, take my tongue, take my words, and may they be yours for your glory, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this chapter in our study through the book of Exodus, the Lord is still dealing with the priest office. And in chapter 28, we've preached two or three messages on that, maybe more than that. And he gave instructions in chapter 28. Now he's continuing to give these instructions for the office of the priest. Now, in this chapter, we see something brought out by the Lord in reference to the priest office, that all believer priests. Now, this is the application tonight, okay? I know we're talking about Aaron and his sons in the Old Testament. I want to give you some things about them, but the message tonight is an application message. And the application is this: if you're saved, you are a priest. You've been made a priest. So as we preach on this thought here, I want you, if you're saved tonight, to think about yourself. Because the truth that God brings out and that He showed me, there it is. There's the main thought. There's what I'm trying to say. There's the main idea. It's the idea that it's God's will for priests to be hallowed to minister unto Him. Now the word hallow here means to be consecrated. It means to be dedicated. It means to be holy. It means to be purified and sanctified. The priest office was an office to minister unto God. Now, we've already preached on this earlier in the book, but again, he emphasizes it here. Notice he doesn't say, hallow them to minister unto the people. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hallow them so they can offer sacrifices. He doesn't say that. He says, hallow them that they minister unto me. We need to understand that the priest office, first and foremost, was an office to serve God. Friends, listen to me. If we would understand that thought in God's work today, it would change our life. If we would understand that as a believer priest, that we are to serve God alone, it settles everything else in life. And you know what else it does? It takes off the pressure. You don't have to worry about pleasing people anymore if all you're doing is serving God. If you want to just minister unto the Lord, it settles everything because He becomes your goal. God, I want to serve you. And may I say this to you? A priest who serves God, God demands for them to be hallowed. He does. He does. The priests were to set apart, were to be set apart, dedicated, sanctified, consecrated, purified. They were that's all in that word hallow. That's what God said as a priest. That is what they are to me. I want them to be hallowed. I want them to be set apart. I want them to be consecrated. And in order to have that, they must be hallowed in the way God demands them to be hallowed. Everybody with me so far? In these 9 verses, I didn't hear one word right there, so I'm just taking for granted that you're with me tonight, okay? In these 9 verses, by application, I want to give you 4 things that is involved in hallowing a priest to minister unto God. In other words, God says, I want him to be hallowed. I want him to be dedicated. I want him to be consecrated. I want him to be sanctified. I want him to be purified. And let me give you 4 things that must be involved if they're going to be hallowed in my sight. May I say this to you? It's one thing to appear hallowed in human sight. It's another thing for God to look at you and say, that's a hallowed person. It's another thing to look at and say, I'm talking about God look at you and say, you are purified. You are a sanctified believer. You are a consecrated Christian. You are a hallowed child of God. Do you have a desire tonight for God to look at you and see a dedicated Christian? Amen or not? You have a desire tonight for God to look at you and see a hallowed Christian, a hallowed priest, a hallowed child of God? Do you have a desire tonight to be a consecrated, holy, purified, sanctified child of God? Do you have that desire? I don't think you'd be. Why are you here if you don't have that desire? Surely you have that desire to be hallowed to minister unto God. God says this, if you're going to serve me, I demand that you be hallowed. He's not asking. He's demanding it. And then he gives 4 things it involves. Let me give these 4 things to you. Number 1, hallowed to minister unto God, dedicated to serve God, consecrated to serve God. Just put it just however you want to put it. If you're going to be hallowed to minister unto God, number 1, it involves offering. It involves offering. Look at verse number 1 and through verse number 3. This is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Here's what he said. Here's what it's going to take to hallow them. Take 1 young bullock and 2 rams without blemish, unleavened bread and cakes unleavened tempered with oil, wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them, and thou shalt put them into 1 basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the 2 rams. Now, later in this chapter, we're going to study these offerings, okay? Not going to get to it tonight. He introduces these offerings here. And here's what he says. Here's what I want you to do to hallow them, to minister unto me. I want you to take animals, and I want you to take this bread and these wafers unleavened. And I want you to put all of it in a basket, the bread, the unleavened, anointed with oil, and bring the animals all together. And I want you to make an offering. Now, friends, this offering that they were to bring, and this is later in the chapter, we'll notice it. It uses this terminology, offer it before the Lord. Offer this before the Lord. Now, notice the animals were to be without blemish. And the food was to be without leaven. Now, friends, this offering is to be offered before the Lord, and therefore it must be acceptable in His sight. And in order for it to be acceptable in His sight, it had to be without blemish. It had to be perfect. Are you listening? It had to be without leaven. It had to be without corruption, without contamination. If there was any kind of mark on this animal, it was not acceptable before God. Now, you say, Jody, how can we apply this first point to being hallowed before God and hallowed to serve God? How can I be hallowed? What are you trying to say with the offering? I'm giving you two things here. I'm applying this, okay? First of all, this is under the offering, letter A. Here it is. We can apply this first of all, that the only possible way for a human being to be hallowed in the sight of God, to be able to serve Him and minister unto God acceptably, is by the only way possible is by the pure, perfect, non-contaminated, non-corrupted sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you tonight that His offering of Himself upon Calvary, that offering, without spot, without blemish, unleavened, no corruption, no mistakes, absolutely spotless. That offering is the basis of our service to God. We cannot serve God outside of the offering of Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? Redemption in Christ is the basis, and it's the foundation of true service for God. Are you listening to me? There are folks around the world today who think they're serving God. There are Muslims who do crazy things. Not all of them, but there are Muslims who do crazy things because they think they're serving God. Are you listening to me? It is not true service to God outside of the offering of the without spot Lamb of God and the unleavened bread, which is a picture of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you that He is this offering. But I'm applying it another way here. I'm just trying to jam your plate pack tonight, okay? Take it home and chew on it a little bit. Offering. You must have offering if you're going to be hallowed to serve God. There must be an offering, and that offering pictures Jesus. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we know it pictures Christ, that there cannot be any hallowing of human beings to serve God outside of the offering of Jesus Christ. But secondly, under this is letter B, if you're keeping notes, we can also apply this truth of bringing an animal, three animals, without spot, without blemish, and then bringing unleavened cakes and wafers, we can also apply this to our lives. Now, I'm applying now, okay, an application. We can apply this to our lives and what we offer Jesus Christ. May I say to you that He deserves a pure sacrifice. He deserves a non-contaminated, non-corrupted sacrifice. Here's the point I'm trying to get across with this application, with the offering. He deserves our very best. He really does. And I want to ask you a question. Is your sacrifice, Romans 12, 1 and 2, a living sacrifice? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You are the sacrifice. And is your sacrifice, your body, your life, your words, your thoughts, is your sacrifice without blemish? Is your sacrifice without leaven? Or is there corruption in it? See, the Word of God says in Malachi 1:14, "But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth," he promises, "and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing." God said this, "Cursed be the deceiver, who has something better than what he promised. But he does not give his best. He gives a corrupted thing." God says, "Cursed be that person." And he went on to say, "For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen." Number one, if you're going to be hallowed to minister unto God, if you're going to be hallowed to serve God, hey, is it a privilege to serve God? Amen. Isn't it a privilege to serve Jesus? Sure it is. And the longer I live, the more of a privilege it becomes to me. The sweeter and sweeter he comes, and the sweeter he grows. It's a privilege to serve God. And if you're a priest tonight, that's what you're in this life for. It's not to serve me. It's not to serve other people. It's to serve God. Do you understand that we're to serve people by serving God? If you serve God, you will serve people. If you serve God, you will witness to people. But if witnessing or serving God becomes the motive, you've put the cart before the horse. It's before the Lord. It's unto the Lord. And God wants you to be hallowed. He wants you to be consecrated. He wants you to be sanctified. You can't have it unless you have an offering. Number two, there must be a washing. We see this in verse number four. Now, I've already mentioned this. This is just kind of building on this thought of being clean. "And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shalt wash them with water." Wash them with water. So there to be, there's an offering in verses 1 to 3. Now there's a washing that must take place with water in verse number 4. The second thing we see about God's instructions for hallowing the priest to minister unto him is how Aaron and his sons were to be brought under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they were to be washed with water. In this, we see that the priests were not to approach their service to God. Don't even get close to the door. In other words, he said, bring them to the door of the tabernacle. Where were the priests going to serve God? Inside what? The tabernacle. And God says here, bring them to the door of it. Before they enter, you make sure they wash themselves with water. Boy, we are losing these truths around America and around the world. If somebody shows me that God becomes like man to reach man, I'll eat my Bible. He does not become like man to reach man. God never lowers himself to bring man to his level. Now, he did at Calvary. I'm not talking about Calvary. I'm talking about who he is, his holiness, his purity, his sanctity. He will never compromise who he is to make men feel good about themselves. God said this, it's a privilege to come into the tabernacle. Amen. And if you're going to come into the tabernacle before you ever open the door, you better wash yourself. Because I will not put up with dirty priests. We see here, again, there's a couple of ways that we can apply this. I'm applying this message. First of all, letter A, washing. This kind of goes right along with the first point, but just a little different twist. The first way that we can apply this is in order to be hallowed to serve God, our sins must be washed away. Revelation 1, 5, and 6. The Bible says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. First of all, we apply the washing here to the washing away of our sin. You cannot be hallowed to serve God, having your sin in your life without it being washed away. Second way we apply this is we apply this to God's children, if you are saved. That God, listen to me please, in order to be hallowed to serve the Lord, we must be clean. You must be pure. Hallowed service to God does not take place in dirty vessels. Let me repeat that. Hallowed service to God does not take place in dirty vessels. Dirty priest. Service to God might take place, but not hallowed service to God. Do you understand the difference? There are several people trying to serve God, but it's not hallowed service. You know what I want? I want to be a hallowed servant of Jesus Christ. I want to be a servant who is completely dedicated, sanctified, purified, consecrated. And if you're going to have that, you must have offering. If you're going to have that kind of service pleasing to God, you must have washing. You must be clean. I ask you a question. See my water up here? I don't see anything floating in it. Thank the Lord. That means that is good, clean water. Do you understand that if I just drop one dirty thing in there, it contaminates the whole thing? Are you listening to me? If there was something floating in there and you didn't know what it was, you going to drink it? You listening to me? God says it's a privilege to be a cup of water in my hand. And I want to use you to help quench the thirst of the world. But if there's anything floating in there, get it out. Simple. Because he deserves our best. It's interesting that it says, wash them with water. What is water a picture of in the Word of God? Several things, but one of them is this book right here. And may I say to you that could it be that we could apply this? You bring them to the door of the tabernacle. You don't let them go in the tabernacle until they have washed themselves with water. Could it be an application here that before we try to serve God, we are pouring over Scripture and letting the Word of God cleanse our hearts and purify our hearts and making sure that when we knock on doors that we've had a good time in the Word of God first? How important is spending time in this Word? I'll tell you how important it is. It's what God uses to give you a bath. And every one of us need to take a bath every day. The Word of God says in Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 1 John 3, 2 and 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's going to be a glorious day, isn't it? And the next verse goes on to say, and every man that hath this hope, by the way, do you have that hope that someday when God appears, you're going to be like him? Do you have that hope tonight? Say amen. Aren't you looking forward to being like Jesus? No more sorrow. Or at least, I mean, no more death. I'm talking about a glorified body. No more sin. I mean, the Word of God says that we will be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is. The only way we can see Him as He is if He makes us like Him. What a glorious thought. But it goes on to say, and every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself, even as he is pure. In other words, the Word of God says that if you have that hope, if you have that hope living in you, that someday you're going to see Jesus. Someday you're going to be like Him. Someday you're going to see Him in all of His glory because He's going to change your body into a body just like His. Do you have that hope tonight? And the Word of God says it should motivate you to be like Him now. If you have that hope in you, you purify yourself now. Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Are you bearing a vessel of the Lord? Are you listening to me? You are a vessel of the Lord. And God says, if you're bearing a vessel of the Lord, be clean. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's time that we understand that a preacher is not against you when he preaches a holy, godly life, friends. He's not. He's for you because he's trying to get God's blessing on your life. And by the way, I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us. I need washing every day of my life. I need offering, and an offering that's pure and holy and right before God. Number three, by the way, one man put it this way, cleansing before service is in principle necessary for all service. Unholiness will destroy and corrupt service quickly. We need a better emphasis today on the purity of the servants of God in our churches. You know what this church needs? I believe we have it to a great extent, but what this church needs, what I need, what you need, we need a greater emphasis today on less doing and more being. Does that make any sense what I just said? God wants you to be right more than He wants you to do things for Him. Now, does He want you to do things for Him, yes or no? Sure. But if you bypass the being, be holy, be clean, be consecrated, be hallowed, if you bypass that and you're just putting stock in everything you're doing, are you listening to me? God's not impressed with that. God wants you to be holy. There must be a washing. Number three, there must be clothing. Clothing. Now, I'm not going to dwell long here because these are the clothes and part of the clothes that we preached on in detail in chapter 28. So I'm just going to mention these and encourage you to go back and listen to the several messages in chapter 28 to hear these pieces of these clothing more in detail. Instead of just repeating what I said, I'm just going to mention this and go on to point number four. Not just mention it. I'll take just a minute here. But again, we're looking at things that are involved in hallowed service of God. Hallowed to minister unto God. To be consecrated to serve God, there must be offering. There must be washing. There must be clothing. We see this in verse 5, 6, verse 8, and verse number 9. These verses once again share the list of clothing that the priest were to have put on them in order to be hallowed to serve the Lord. Now, while we've already preached on the significance of these different articles of clothing, it would do well just to reemphasize the main thoughts with each piece here, just to show what must be in place in order to truly be serving God hallowedly, consecratedly. You'll notice in these verses 5, 6, 8, and 9 that he mentions coats, he mentions the ephod, he mentions the breastplate, he mentions the mitre with the holy crown. The holy crown, remember, had that phrase engraved upon it, holiness unto the Lord. The girdles are mentioned, the bonnets are mentioned. All of that I've already preached on in chapter 28, but let me just emphasize this again. God says, I want you to do something to hallow the priest. I want you to bring an offering, three animals without spot, without blemish. I want you to bring unleavened bread, unleavened wafers, anoint them with oil, put them in a basket, bring it and offer it to me. I want you to bring the priest and the high priest to the door of the tabernacle, and don't you let them enter until they've washed with water. And before they go in, you make sure that they have their coat on. You make sure they have the ephod. Don't matter the high priest. You make sure he's got the breastplate. You make sure he's got the mitre and the holy crown. You make sure that the priest, his sons, have the girdles. You make sure that they have the bonnets on. I remind you again, the coats emphasize the importance of appropriate clothing coming into God's presence. We must be clothed in righteousness. The ephod emphasizes us being carried on the mighty shoulders of our high priest. Now, I've already preached on this in detail. You can go back and get it. I'm just mentioning it. The breastplate emphasizes our uniqueness, our preciousness. I'm talking about our security in Christ and how much he loves us. The mitre and holy crown emphasizes the man for absolute holiness. The girdles emphasize readiness to serve in the Lord's strength, not our strength. And the bonnets emphasize being subject unto our superior, who is God. Along with these reminders from earlier sermons, we emphasize that these garments, it's interesting, they were to be provided for the priest. Somebody else was to make them. And they were to be provided for the priest. We can apply this truth that God enables us to do what he commands us to do. Friends, he does not say be holy and then not make it possible for you to be holy. He does not say come into my presence and not make it possible for you to come into his presence. With this clothing that he demanded to be put on the high priest and his sons, different pieces of clothing on different ones of them, but this clothing nonetheless that God says, I want that on him and that on him and that on him and that on him. It was God's way of saying, if you approach me, you must come on my terms. And you must come with the way I have demanded you to come. It's a comfort to realize that what God demands, he supplies. Isn't it, honestly? You know what I catch myself doing? And please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I catch myself in my own mind and in my prayer life, sometimes going to God and saying, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do next. Lord, why in the world did you call me? Because I don't have a clue. I'm serious. Aren't you glad your pastor doesn't have a clue tonight, you know? You know what I did last time Brother David gives us here? Not this time, I'm talking about the time before. I was a little bit, you know, concerned about just feeling inadequate, so to speak. And I went to pick him up at the hotel, and I was bringing him here or taking him to the airport one. And I said, Dr. Gibbs, I said, let me ask you a question. I said, well, let me just say this to you. I don't know what I'm doing, sir. I thought he's going to give me some elaborate, great counsel. You know what he did? He said, don't ever lose that, son. Don't ever lose that. I'm sharing this with you because I'm learning something as I pastor. God didn't call me because of me. God called me in spite of me. And if I realize I can't, he always does through me. That's the clothing. You must do it his way. His terms. There must be clothing. Let me give you a fourth and final thing. Number four, there must be offering, there must be washing, There must be clothing. Finally, there must be anointing. Now you say, Jody, what does this mean? Let me explain it to you. Now again, am I preaching tonight on serving God? That's a trick question. Am I preaching just on serving God? Yes or no? The answer is no. I'm preaching on serving God in a hallow way. I'm preaching on hallow service to God. Not service to God, but hallowed service to God. And hallowed service to God, consecrated, dedicated, purified, sanctified before God, demands offering, demands washing, demands clothing, demands anointing. We see this in verse number 7 with the high priest. Then shalt thou take the anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. In this verse, we see Aaron, the high priest now. He's the high priest. He's anointed with oil by it being poured upon his head. Now, this anointing set him apart for service. This is found in Leviticus chapter 8, verse 12. When this oil was poured on his head, it set him apart for his special service. Now, oil in the Word of God is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we can apply this anointing on the high priest in a couple of ways. First of all, we apply it to the anointing of our great high priest. Who is the great high priest? Jesus Christ, right? So Aaron and the office of the high priest in the Old Testament points to the office of the great high priest in the book of Hebrews, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Question, was the great high priest, Jesus Christ, was he anointed by the Holy Spirit of God? Yes? Yes, he was. Interesting, isn't it? Listen to me here. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God before he began his public ministry. And he ministered in the strength of his anointing. Let me give you some verses now, okay? Luke chapter 4, verses 16 to 19. Listen to this. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Acts 10:38, listen to this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, folks, that verse is too deep for me, okay? But it does say God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. God was with him. However, for the purpose of this message, talking about hallowed service unto God, now, we apply this to our high priest, that he's been anointed above his fellows and all this, the head and all of this. You'll notice that the other priests were not anointed on their heads, only the high priest. And that's a picture of the Lord being anointed above his fellows. But for the purpose of this message about us as priests being hallowed servants of God, it'd be unjust for me to leave without applying this truth of this anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, without applying this to our need of the same thing today. Friends, we must have the anointing of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. If we do not have that, we will not be a hallowed servant of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. If Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit, how much more must we be? We must have His power. It's time we understand that ministering unto God was never meant to be done in the energy of the flesh. True, hallowed service to God is done only in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot be in the flesh and be a hallowed servant of God. In order to be hallowed to serve God, we must have the anointing of the Spirit of God. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now get this. Knowing we need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you understand tonight? Now I know we know this mentally. But do we truly know it in our heart and our spirit? That I need God's power. I have to have the power of God. I need the Holy Spirit filling, His anointing, His filling. And if we know that we need His power to be a truly hallowed servant to God, let us not quench His Spirit. Let us not limit His Spirit. But rather, let us be filled with His Spirit. God, help me to be a Spirit-anointed Christian, a Spirit-anointed husband, a Spirit-anointed father, son, pastor, friend. Friends, what we need is we need the power the Holy Spirit of God. Do you understand that tonight? We can't do it in our flesh. He never asked us to. He must do it through us. In these verses and those to follow, we see the priests were to be wholly separated for serving God. The priest's office demanded entire dedication, entire devotion to God. God wanted the priest to be hallowed, to serve Him, and gave instructions on how that could happen. Bring an offering. Wash yourself. Put the right clothing on. And get the oil poured over your head. You know what we need tonight? Is we need to bring an offering to the altar. We need to get down and ask God to give us a bath. We need to ask the Lord to give us the clothing that we need to serve Him. And bend our head down and beg for fresh oil. Begging God for His power. Do you desire to be a hallowed servant of God? Yes. There must be offering. There must be washing. You have to have it. There must be clothing. The right kind that God says. There must be anointing. And if we have offering, washing, clothing, and anointing in place, God's going to do great things, friends. And may the Lord help us to see this. Father, we love you tonight, and I pray that you will help us to understand that you do not just desire to be served. You desire to be served in a hallow way, a hallow manner. And I pray that as we leave tonight, that you'll help us to have a desire in our heart to be a hallowed servant of God. To be a servant that you look at us and say, that is a consecrated servant. That is a dedicated servant. That is a sanctified servant. That is a hallowed servant. That's our desire. That's my desire. Would you help us to have this in our life? Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. Are you a servant of Jesus Christ? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone as your Savior? Are you born again? If not, come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel story. But I trust that you tonight, here on a Wednesday night, you probably more than likely know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you don't, please come, let us take a Bible and help you. But if you do tonight, I want to ask you a question. Do you just want to serve God? Or do you want to serve Him in a hallowed way? Do you want to serve Him in a dedicated, consecrated, purified, sanctified way? I trust I know your answer on that. You can only do that if you have an offering. That offering's Jesus, but that offering's also you. Are you giving Him your best? You can only have it if you have a washing, and may I say this to you, a daily washing with the Word of God, clean before Him, right before Him. You can only have it if you have the clothing on that He has for you. Not living the life that you want to live, doing your own thing, but yet submitting to Him and putting on what He tells you to put on. I'm talking in spiritual terms. Approaching Him on His terms. You can only have it if you have anointing, the Holy Spirit power. I'm just going to ask Brother Gary if he wouldn't mind just to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you, if you want to come and say, God, make me a hallowed servant, would you do it? As he sings, stand to your feet, come to this altar. Let's ask God to help us tonight. Would you please?
All to Jesus.
So I want to be a hallowed servant. I want to be a servant that's fully consecrated. I want to be a servant that's fully dedicated. Holy, complete. Come and talk to God. Come and talk to the Lord. Make me a hallowed servant, God. Not just a servant, a hallowed servant, a hallowed servant. Thank Him for the offering that He made so you could be. Thank Him for the washing that He washed your sins clean so you could be. Thank Him for the clothing that He provides so you can be. Thank Him for the Holy Spirit and its anointing and His anointing and power and influence so you can. We thank God for this. Thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for the power of His Word, and how He washes us with it, cleanses us with it. Why? Why does He do that? So we're acceptable to Him and we can serve Him. He doesn't wash you to sit. He washes you to serve. But He washes you to serve Him. Serve Him. That's the message. May the Lord help us to understand it. Amen. I'm asking Brother Bobby to come. We have one item to vote on tonight and we'll be done. Thank you for being here this evening.